Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Richmond. It's 12 noon, and I'm AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most local sports talk in town. They call me AWOD. This is AWOD Radio here on a Tuesday, December 2nd. And tonight, all eyes will be on the College Football Playoff Committee with the latest Top 25 and the 12-team bracket reveal. It has become my goal to force the committee to hire a new voice next year, because this guy gives me a headache. Is he going to have another childish joke when talking about the serious matter of Miami versus Notre Dame? You know, the moment you opened up the 12 teams, you opened the door for 12 teams to be in all-out war for those spots. And so when you have this become a television spectacle, when everybody is watching nationwide, you have to have a smart person up there go out and break down wisely how and why each team is ranked. And I just don't think they've done that in the last few weeks. I continue to question them about Miami-Notre Dame. I continue to question them about the G5, why JMU's not in there versus Tulane or North Texas. And how many SEC schools are you going to allow? We had 7 in contention for, what, 5 spots? And now Texas thinks they're in with a 6 spot? It's incredible. I think we need to do a better job making this more fair and spread around, because I know right now they're going to leave out a powerhouse in the Big 12, either BYU or Texas Tech, because I don't think the loser of that championship game is going to get in. In the ACC, we've got UVA against Duke, and there's a chance that neither team gets in. But you know how we like to start the show every day, by catching you up on anything you might have missed around the sports world when we open up the sports app.
Here it is, everybody.
Clearly, this is the future.
Stats, scores, highlights.
Whoa, are you serious?
Wi-Fi plus 3G. This one.
We start in the NFL, recapping the Monday Night Football matchup between the Giants and the New England Patriots. And how about this one? Giants, Abdul Carter benched again at the start of the loss to the New England Patriots, not coming in and playing like a top 5 pick you would expect. Don't like what he's brought to the Giants this season. But I think you got to start with the highlight plays. And in this one, it was a field goal that gave the Patriots a 3-0 lead. And then a punt return to the house for Marcus Jones. Let's take a listen to the call.
Coming into week 13, Gillen hits it. And the return by Marcus Jones. He can fly. Still going. Still going. No flags. Touchdown, Patriots.
Patriots got the ball back, and it was Drake May finding Kayshon Booty for a 3-yard touchdown. This game was over before the end of the first. So that was a 17-0 lead for the New England Patriots. Giants' Darius Slayton would get a 30-yard pass from Jackson Dart, making it 17-7. And then it would be the Patriots just scoring 3 more times till we got to the fourth quarter. But this game was over by then. Your final score, New England 33, New York 15. Let's move over to college football here on the Sports App. All right, so you just heard me and Michael arguing about Lane Kiffin leaving Ole Miss for LSU. And I think, look, you have to respect the job that he's done at Ole Miss. That got him job opportunities. Just like Bob Chesney's work at JMU in just 2 years has gotten him a job opportunity at UCLA. In my mind, the front office of the university has a chance to make the right decision and the wrong decision. You can be petty and you can be bitter that they're leaving, or you can accept that their success got them a better opportunity. JMU is handling it the right way. Bob Chesney will coach out the rest of this season and maybe into the college football playoffs. Ole Miss, in my mind, is handling it wrong. Here's Heather Dinch on Lane Kiffin's way out of Ole Miss.
College football is not like the NFL, right? You cannot contract-wise operate the same way with 10 FBS conferences and commissioners and the timing that is college football that is unique. Second, every coach, including Lane Kiffin, preaches the Bo Schembechler line, the team, the team, the team, until it's about me. And if it's not about money, then there's a different way to handle it. It is possible to say, you know what? Thank you so much for your interest, LSU and Florida. I'm going to focus on my team, and then we can have these conversations when I'm done. And
I hate that take from Heather. She just doesn't want him to have success. That's what it become here. Oh, no, we want you to stay at Ole Miss, but just don't be so successful because then you'll leave to go to Florida or LSU. No, if you have success, I open the door for you to walk out. Hey, you know what? Same things happened at VCU with the last six coaches. Ryan Odom, thanks for your time here. I appreciate the success you had. Good luck at UVA. I'm not bitter. Let's move over to College Hoops on the Sports App. So there's some great matchups today as it is the ACC-SEC Challenge. We talked about this yesterday, but the ACC needs a much better showing in the SEC Challenge than last year when I believe the final score was 14 wins for the SEC, 2 for the ACC. So the college football playoff bracket will be revealed. I believe it will be right before Duke-Florida tips off 7:30 on ESPN. On ESPN2, Tennessee, Syracuse, Iowa, Michigan State, good matchup in the Big Ten on Peacock. And so those are the big matchups that we will be viewing in on here. And of course, locally, the SEC-ACC Challenge tonight has the Hokies after a 1-2 trip to the Bahamas taking on South Carolina. VCU head basketball coach Phil Martelli Jr. spoke to the media yesterday after the 2-1 successful trip to the Bahamas, and they are preparing for their next game Friday hosting Samford. You can hear that right here on 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. And keep listening, because we are going to be giving away VCU tickets every week here on 910 The Fan to a home game. We've got a pair of tickets to give away to VCU hosting Niagara in the month of December. We'll give those away today on AWOD Radio. You're listening to AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Over to the NBA here on the Sports App. Wizards Sixers battle tonight. That will be 7 p.m. from Philadelphia. The NBC game of interest is the 20-1 Oklahoma City Thunder. Again, 20-1. They're doing something that we haven't seen since the Golden State Warriors when they had Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. They'll be going against Steph Curry and Seth Curry in the 11-10 Golden State Warriors tonight. That's an 11 o'clock tip-off on NBC and Peacock. And that is the latest in the NBA. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. It is a Touchdown Tuesday, December 2nd, going through the latest and greatest touchdowns in college football and the NFL. We'll take a look at our 12-team college football playoffs on University Drive. And we'll be joined by Lane Casadante at 2:30 to run around local sports in Richmond. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Welcome back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. We are live and local here on a Tuesday, December 2nd, back in the studios here, just off of Broad Street in Richmond, Virginia. Coach Phil Martelli Jr. spoke to the media yesterday. I've got some thoughts on the VCU trip to the Bahamas and what they need to do in December to have a chance at an at-large bid, as the net rankings have come out. We're sitting pretty at KenPom. And so for VCU basketball, I'm going to say it right now. Go undefeated in December, and I will like our chances in March. Cannot lose a game here in December. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline for a segment we call Crosstalk, it's Michael Phillips. Let's do it.
If I could just have your attention.
It's Crosstalk with Adam Epstein and Michael Phillips on The Fan. It's like that one 90s movie that everybody loved. What's the name of that movie? It's not Crosstalk, but it sounds like Crosstalk. It's Crosstalk on The Fan. Oh, Face Off with Travolta and Nick Cage. But this is Crosstalk.
Michael, what's going on, man?
Feeling good, and I agree. VCU to, at large, let's make it happen.
Yeah, and look, these are not going to be the most difficult opponents, but they're still not easy. Samford's got a great coach. They run a really good offense. Niagara's difficult. New Mexico is going to be the biggest test. And that includes St. Bonaventure at the end of December as well. I think we've got to win all our December games to have a chance at an at-large bid.
Yeah, what happened to Woj out there? I mean, Woj showed up, and that was a pretty good team, and I thought they're probably going to enter the upper echelon, right? I mean, the upper echelon is VCU, Dayton, St. Louis, just in terms of, like, resources and prestige and all that. You know, obviously this year you got two really good teams up in Northern Virginia in Washington and Mason, but I thought for sure you had Woj. What a commitment there. Like, they were about to go to the next level, and they really haven't, Adam.
No, and I don't know what I expected out of St. Bonaventure. Look, now, they're 7-1 this season. Now, they just haven't played the toughest competition yet so far, but it does seem like Dayton, St. Louis, VCU are the top three, with those two Northern Virginia schools, or D.C. area, like you said, GW and George Mason off to a good start. And George Mason's the only undefeated team in the conference so far. And, you know, they haven't had the toughest schedule, but I thought they had a good showing against James Madison. I watched them win against Winthrop, and they've got a game tonight against Cornell at home. And that's their tune-up before the Virginia Tech game, which will be massive for them.
A lot of respect here, and certainly the fact that VCU beats Virginia Tech. You'd love Mason to do that as well, just to build those points for the A-10. Then we all become Tech fans the rest of the way, right? All these wins, you become fans of that team the rest of the way. VCU's got their list. Vandy needs to be really good. Virginia Tech needs to be really good to help sell you on Selection Sunday. Obviously, Utah State, you want them to be really good to make that schedule look even better. But I love that we're talking about multiple teams that could plausibly win the A-10 title. I think that's really good for business. I think that's ultimately going to be good in terms of getting a regular season winner in as an at-large before you even get to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but we also need to discuss what the heck is going on with the Loyola Chicago Ramblers.
Yeah.
1-7. They can't beat anybody. I mean, they lost to Mercyhurst. They lost to Northern Illinois, Northern Iowa, San Jose State. It's been embarrassing for Valentine.
I misread this one. I'll acknowledge it. When Sister Jean died, Adam, I said, you just watch. They're going to win the league this year. They're doing it for Sister Jean. They're playing for a higher calling right now. Instead, I think we're all learning. Sister Jean was the glue holding that team together, Adam. Without them, they've been nothing. Without her, you know, really holding this team together, giving them inspirational speeches and prayer before games, the Loyola's got nothing.
All right, from college basketball to college football, and all eyes on the playoff committee tonight with their latest top 25 and the 12-team bracket. I have been saying that you should not be penalized for playing in a championship game, which means I think we are set with Ohio State, Indiana, and then the two teams that will meet in the SEC, Georgia and Alabama.
I don't think you can argue Ohio State or Indiana. I think they've got strong enough resumes that even if they lose this game, they should be included. I think we also agree on Georgia. Alabama, though, oh boy, that's a tough one to me. If Alabama wasn't playing in the SEC title game, I think you can make a legitimate case they should be excluded from the college football playoff on the grounds of their season so far. Obviously, they're not. The committee's put them in. Now, the committee, you are correct, has refused to penalize anybody for playing in a title game. I understand not wanting to set that precedent. I understand not wanting to start now. I'm just saying they are a borderline case right now. They should be thanking the SEC for this opportunity to prove their case. You know everybody's going to whine about it if they're left out. I've got no issues leaving them out if they lose the SEC title game.
I mean, I think that's kind of crazy because they're 7-1 in the toughest conference in football, and they have a top 25 win over Vanderbilt, over Missouri, over Tennessee already under their belt this season. I think a 7-1 Alabama team. And the other thing is the committee seems to make it pretty clear that their loss to Florida State, well, that was just week one, right? Just like the reason that Notre Dame lost, because it was just week one, right?
What about Texas? Are you in on Texas?
I'm so out on Texas. I can't stand a three-loss team getting in. The third loss for Alabama being in the SEC title game, to me, that doesn't really count.
If Alabama had played Ohio State, though, early in the year, they'd have three losses. They'd just be Texas. It's the same resume, but one of them played Ohio State. I don't view either of them as legitimate national title contenders.
I do. I think that Ty Simpson's really a good enough quarterback, and Alabama's got, you know, just insane athletes on both sides of the ball. He's good enough. The difference with Texas and Alabama is Texas played Ohio State, Alabama played Florida State. And then they both played a difficult SEC schedule. Texas just has two losses. Alabama just has one.
Yeah, I think Alabama's got a better case, but if we're getting to the point where we got to separate out these last teams in, Notre Dame's going to have a case for it, right? Miami's got a case for it. Are you going to leave Notre Dame out for Alabama? I think that they probably will. I'm agreeing with you that the selection committee will not punish a team for playing in the conference title game. I'm just saying, body of work, all we ever yell about is how these games should be super relevant. I'm failing to see why we just overlook a game because it happened in week one.
I think the only thing that could kind of upset what I'm saying of the top four being the two title games, Big Ten and SEC, is if Texas Tech blows out BYU and looks really good. They've been flirting with top four.
Are you saying Bama gets the bye?
Yeah.
You think Bama's getting a bye?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, no. If Bama wins, if they beat Georgia, sure. If Bama loses, I'm saying they're in the playoffs. You're saying if Bama loses, they get a bye?
I'm saying if Bama loses, it's. I'm telling you it's going to be an SEC team. Either Bama or Ole Miss would sneak in. If Bama wins, they're definitely a top four, and Georgia would not be removed from the top four.
I agree with that part of it. The Ole Miss thing is right. If Alabama loses, Ole Miss would be the logical team to slot in, and of course, they've already made very clear they don't love the fact that they're going to be without their coach, which I think is very fair.
Or do you just put Texas A&M back in? I guarantee there will be two SEC teams, two Big Ten teams in the top four.
You can't give Alabama a bye if they lose. I'm here saying Alabama shouldn't be in the playoffs if they lose. You're saying they're going to get a bye. They should not get a bye if they lose by any stretch. But I am also curious. You know, I'm a conspiracy theory fan. I think if Duke beats Virginia, the ACC will not be left without a team. They will find a way to sneak Miami in.
That's fine with me because I just feel like when they can keep doing this and pushing it along and pushing it along, but eventually, when every game has been played, if Notre Dame and Miami are within three spots of each other with the exact same record, you have to go to head-to-head.
How wild will it be if they get it right in the final one, but get it wrong in every single lead-up one? Like, why did we even have the TV show if they were just going to change it at the finish line?
I mean, that's certainly what might happen with James Madison, right? I mean, they might at the end of the day say, well, actually the Sun Belt champion is better than the American, even though we've had Tulane in there or North Texas in there every week.
Yeah, maybe they shouldn't have the TV show, but it's good entertainment. It's fun to talk about.
They need to stop having that guy come out and say 6-7. I mean, are you kidding me?
Dude, that is a tough watch. I would argue this is more important of a show than the NCAA men's bracket show. Like, I just think there's more on the line. There's more money. There's more interest. There's fewer teams. There's going to be bigger controversy. And that's the face of this thing. That doesn't give anybody any confidence.
All right, Michael, before we let you go, I feel like you are close to changing your mind. And I'm going to see if I can push you over the limit here. Virginia blows out Duke.
Okay.
Do you give them any chance to win a college football playoff game? When we talked about this a few weeks ago, you did not pick them to beat any team that was ahead of them.
I am moderately intrigued by a potential Ole Miss pairing.
I'm all in on Ole Miss. I can't wait for UVA Ole Miss.
See you in the Grove, buddy.
Because that's the one right there. I mean, maybe Texas Tech if they lose, but I don't really see that being the match. Because if UVA wins against Duke, the highest they get up to is 11, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't go above 11. I guess maybe if you think A&M's a fraud, I don't think A&M's that much of a fraud, though.
What if UVA wins? Can you put them ahead of a 10-3 Alabama or a 10-2 Notre Dame?
What matchup does that get? You're getting like an Oregon there, though. That doesn't feel better. I don't think UVA could beat Oregon. I kind of feel like the chips are on the Ole Miss square here, right? Like that's the team you want to go push and see if they fall down. I that's the one I want for sure.
Yeah, I just don't know if that's the way it's going to shake out. Is there any other team that you'd give UVA a shot against, though?
I'm intrigued by A&M in the sense that they might be fraudulent. I'd love to go to College Station, score the first touchdown, and see if does the that number, and you can maybe. But you watch what they did when they fell behind against South Carolina. They're so explosive, they can get it done. If BYU beats Texas Tech and they do some swaparoo there, I don't think I'd mind going to BYU. I do think that's a good football team. That would be another one that you could maybe sell me on. But I'm all in for Ole Miss right now.
Yeah, you could sell me on either BYU or Texas Tech because I would put the ACC against the Big 12.
Yeah, I think Texas Tech is really, really good this year. I get where you're coming from. Like, I don't conceptually disagree conference-wise. I think Texas Tech is in a class of its own in both those conferences. But if BYU could somehow sneak by them, maybe we're singing a different song.
That's Michael Phillips, MP on the mic. I'm AWOD. You're listening to the new Sports Radio 910 AM, 105.1 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. You know, Kay Adams is an NFL insider who had some fun on social media last night. I enjoyed it as she was tweeting out, "Is this on Brian Daboll too?" as Jackson Dart took massive hit after massive hit in the loss last night to the New England Patriots. It's time to go around the National Football League here on NFL Hits.
Every regular season matchup, every head coach on the hot seat, the hit stories in the NFL. NFL Hits on AWOD Radio.
I mean, Jeremy, that cannot have been what you wanted to watch on Monday Night Football from your 2-10 Giants.
No, it was not. A good night for me. I was not very happy on the couch last night.
Yeah, I mean, the first quarter was a nightmare. It felt like a blink of an eye, punt, 17-0, New England on top as we close the book on Week 13, look ahead to Week 14 here on an Overreaction Tuesday. And I'm still overreacting about the top two teams in the AFC. Like, New England looked great last night. I don't think they're going to win a playoff game this year. Denver got a win on Sunday Night Football. I don't know that they're going to win a playoff game this year. It's such an odd season where I would still pick Kansas City to go on the road to Denver and knock off the Broncos. I would still pick Buffalo to go to New England and knock off the Patriots. Like, am I crazy for thinking that the teams that were good last year are still going to be playoff good this year?
I don't think there's a good team in the NFL this year. I just don't. There's not one. I thought it was the Rams for a while, and then they just lose to the Panthers. You think it's the Seahawks for a second, and then they have a couple of really bad games where they slip up. There hasn't been a single team all year long that has really grabbed the opportunity that's here, with the Chiefs and the Bills all seemingly taking a step back, especially in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Patriots, and it's like, what the hell was wrong with them the first 3 weeks of the season? So, like, they lose to the Raiders. Then they barely squeak by the Dolphins, then lose to Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. But since then, They have not lost a game, and they are looking like the best team in football right now, which is so weird because a year ago they were one of the worst teams in football. That's why I feel like I can confidently say I still don't think they're going to win a playoff game. And in the NFC, I mean, Chicago must be the most fraud number one seed of all time. There's just no way that I would pick the Chicago Bears to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. There's just no way.
I can kind of see it. Maybe that's a little crazy, but I can kind of see it. The way that they're running the ball. They just had two different backs go for over 100 yards against that Eagles defense. An Eagles defense that is staunch up front. The weather's going to keep getting colder in Chicago. If they keep running physical like that, that's not going to be fun to go against.
Yeah, I mean, they must have had a great game plan because Jalen Carter was like, absent in that game as the Bears just ran all over the Eagles for 281 yards. I just know that they're going to need to rely on Caleb Williams to make some tough passes to win in the playoffs, and I could see him turning it over. Like, I still think the Eagles are the best team in the NFC, even though they got, like, embarrassed on Black Friday.
I think the Cowboys win the NFC East.
Dude, I mean, the trend would say that you're right. I actually had a caller on Saturday that said, Awad, you're crazy for rooting against the Cowboys. We need to root against the trend. He said, we need it to continue. That the NFC East has not had a back-to-back division champion since 2003, Andy Reid, Donovan McNabb. Every year since then, there has been a new champ. Last year was the Philadelphia Eagles. Trend would say the 8-4 Eagles will slip out of first place by the end of the season. Washington, they're done. No. We are so cooked. 3-9. It's been a disappointing season. I think one of my overreactions, though, is that if McLaurin played the whole season, we would have at least two more wins. The fear factor is everything.
It's
right?
So different when he's out there. It's like you can see it through the TV screen, how the defenses have to play him different. He is a top 10 receiver in the NFL.
London Fletcher said on the broadcast, death, taxes, and Terry McLaurin winning on a slant route. We missed that this season. That is an easy first down on 3rd and 5. That is an easy 5 yards on 1st and 10. Anytime you're backed up, like, and he can win on that slant every single time and get you like 5-6 yards. So, like, we could talk all night and day about his 13 touchdowns have been missed, and that's absolutely true. But I think the winning on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd down is what we're missing most from Terry McLaurin here. Just beating another team. Patrick Surtain's the best corner in football. He beat him 3 times and got into the end zone on the biggest play of the game. Anything you wanted to overreact about here on an Overreaction Tuesday?
I'm here to say I think that I'm going back to week one. I'm going back to week one, my original overreaction. Both 1 seeds from last year are missing the playoffs. I'm sticking with it. I'm coming back to it. The Chiefs and the Lions are both done. They're not making the playoffs this year.
I mean, it's very interesting that we're this far into the season and they're both on the outside looking in. Detroit's the big one because, like, Michael still said, like, he still thinks the Lions could win the NFC. And I agree with him, but why did they lose to the Packers twice? Like, they should have split that. The Thanksgiving loss, it kind of seems like it was on Dan Campbell with the 2 missed 4th down conversions being the difference in that game. And I had a listener come up to us at Capitol Hill House yesterday. He thinks it's an epidemic in football right now that analytics are ruining the game, where coaches just don't take points anymore. And he's pointed to so many different things, and I can't disagree with him. Like, I am old school. And he even pointed to the Chiefs game. Washington was in the red zone 3 times. They went to half with 7 points. Should have had 13. If you just take the field goals, you're going to end up with a lead in a lot of games. And that changes everything. That's why I don't believe in analytics, is the analytics don't care about nerves, right? And play calls. Right? And so that's why I'm still against the Eagles going for 2 there, because if they had just kicked the extra point and they weren't chasing points, then it would have been a 1-possession game at 8 points. And you're telling me Ben Johnson isn't going to be nervous when he's calling those plays, and he's not going to be more likely to call runs only up by 8? But with a 9-point game, yeah, he got a little frisky, called a play action pass, and then they got another first down. Like, the game changes based on the score on the scoreboard. That changes everything. And the analytics, it feels like, just don't look at that. They look at, simulations.
Yeah, I to a certain extent, I agree with him. Because there are plenty of times where you should go for it. Like, in Madrid, the Commanders should have taken the points when there was a tie game in the red zone. So should the Dolphins have, right?
Right.
There's lots of teams where you point to an obvious mistake and you say, why aren't you just taking the points? But then you look at a game like the Colts and the Texans last week, where the Texans were down by 7. They had the ball, fourth down, in like, I think they were at like the 30-yard line. They kick a field goal. They don't score another point.
Well, that's a thing where down by 7, I understand not kicking the field goal. Down by 6, it becomes a different story. The listener, he pointed to your boys, the New York Giants, in your loss to the Detroit Lions. How many times did you guys botch that situation there in terms of fourth down? 1-3 on fourth down, and 2 of those were in field goal range.
Yeah.
You end up losing in overtime. And that was a game that you were up for most of the game.
Yeah,
every point matters.
I'm not a fan of the way the Giants handle fourth down decisions. I wanted them to go for it when they were down 20 every single time. It didn't matter. They couldn't stop the Patriots last night.
Yeah.
The Lions one, I kind of understand. You had a lead at that point, and you didn't want to waste it. I guess. I don't know. I don't understand the mindset. I don't love the Kafka decision-making right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you have a lead, you want to increase it. I'm more likely to understand going for it when you're down and you're in desperation mode at that point. But, like, you know, at the end of the day in the NFL, I think turnovers change the outcome of games more often than anything. And a fourth down miss is a turnover.
Yeah.
It's just like how I say in basketball, in college hoops. If you go to the free throw line and you miss a 1-1, that's as good as a turnover for the opposition.
I think it should be counted as turnovers. Teams are going for fourth down so much more nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
And it just gets hidden in the stat sheet. It should be its own stat or turnover thing. It should be included in all of those.
I think it should be, because a lot of times it's on the coaching staff, right? And then they'll claim at the end, yeah, our defense didn't create enough turnovers. Well, yeah, but your offense turned the ball over on downs multiple times. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Washington Commanders. You can hear every game here on 910 AM, 105.1 FM. And Commanders will travel to Minnesota, take on the Vikings this weekend. And there was a report from Adam Schefter on Sunday morning about Jaden Daniels, and I don't expect him to play against the Vikings. I mean, I talked about this last week. Trending towards practicing limited last week. Yes, that happened. Trending towards practicing full this week. I expect that to happen Wednesday or Thursday. Travels to Minnesota, doesn't play in the game, then plays against the Giants, Eagles, and Cowboys on Christmas, and that's the end of his season. I would not play him in that meaningless Week 18 game in Philadelphia. I don't want him to end the season injured. And I don't see really any reason to play him in that one. Those three games are important in terms of quick turnaround. December 14th, Giants. Quick turnaround to the Eagles. 5 days later, Christmas against the Cowboys. And the divisional games, although they aren't important for this season, I think they're crucial for Jaden to get a win under his belt against the Cowboys, to look good and perform well against his divisional opponents, and those are going to be the games that you count on winning next season. Time for the Commander's Corner here on AWOD Radio as we look at the most popular Commander's comments online, and there are still people buzzing about the catch made by Treylon Burks. It was an insane catch. It's going to be a catch of the year nominee. It was probably the best Sunday night football catch of the season. Odell Beckham gave him a shout out, 13, making 13 plays. I mean, it was like one of those are you kidding me moments. My perspective watching it was, no, they're not going to throw a fade route. Oh my God, I can't believe he caught that. And it was Odell Beckham light. It was a one-handed thing of beauty. It's the most talked about thing online for Commanders fans right now. And I think you take the question a step further and you ask, well, how much is Treylon Burks part of this team's future now moving forward? I think he has to be part of your future plans. He is a guy that Dan Quinn talked about that has been aggressive in the locker room, telling the coaches how much he wants this opportunity and how much he's going to make the most of it. I thought because it was in a losing effort, but we didn't talk about it enough. Like, what was the deal, Jeremy? Did you hear about this? He, like, broke his finger right before the Dolphins game, played through it, then had surgery, and then played and caught that pass with one finger taped to the other finger because he had just had the surgery.
Yeah, I'd only seen that from the tweet that Ian Rappaport had put out after the fact. So yeah. they put that under wraps. I'm a big Treylon Burks fan. I think he has a lot of potential. I loved him coming out of Arkansas.
Yeah, what do you think happened his first few years in Tennessee? Was it simply he was being compared to A.J. Brown?
I think it was a little bit of that. I think it was a lot of injuries. He caught that was his second career touchdown. His first career touchdown he caught, immediately got concussed on that play, and then was never able to stay on the field. He is a really talented receiver. Like I said, he's got that size. You saw he's got the hands. He just made that catch on Sunday Night Football. He was getting targeted a lot by Marcus Mariota. He was getting open. I think there's a lot to like if you can tap into that potential that he had coming out of college.
Yeah, I mean, we say this every year in the NFL. You know, one team's trash is another team's treasure. The Rams felt like they had a treasure in Emmanuel Forbes. Cost them the game against the Panthers. But it feels like now Washington thinks they got an undercover treasure in Treylon Burks, who was drafted by Tennessee, a first-round pick in 2022, where he appeared in 11 games, made just 33 receptions for 444 yards and that one touchdown. And then since then, just struggled to stay on the field and struggled to receive a good amount of targets. And I think that's the other thing is, I don't think he's a separation guy. I think he's more of a big catch guy. From what we've seen from here already in Washington in just a three-game sample size, is 5 catches for 77 yards and a touchdown. And I think of those 5 catches, 3 of them have been contested. Like, he is a contested catch guy, kind of similar to Terry McLaurin. And here's the other thing why he has to be in our future plans moving forward, is it was almost like God heard our calling. This was the most desperate team in the NFL for outside receiver help. Deebo Samuel, slot guy. Jalen Lane, slot guy. Luke McCaffrey, slot guy. I mean, the list goes on of all these slot guys here in Washington, and we just didn't have an outside receiver because Noah Brown was injured and Terry McLaurin is injured. And falling into our laps was Treylon Burks. And I just love hearing the coaching staff talk about him because you don't really know what type of person he is, but you hear about his work ethic, and that gets me excited. And I just love taking a shot on a first-round pick that didn't work out somewhere else. And we did that last year with Cleveland Farrell, who was a Richmond kid. Didn't work out, but I love those kind of swings. I love this. And you know what? I'm going to say this right now. All the people trashing Adam Peters for not finding a kicker or for the way he revamped this wide receiver group or that he didn't go out and get another tight end, you have to give him credit for Treylon Burks. Your general manager deserves credit for that. And I think it's kind of quieted the crowd that was all in on Brandon Ayuk coming to Washington. So that's the good. The bad is Ben Sennett. I really like the kid. I had an awesome interview with him at training camp. I'll tell you, my reaction was I thought he kind of sounded like he had a softer voice. I don't know why, but to me that meant something. Dude's like 6'6", right? 300 pounds. I expected him to be like, hey, A-Wad, what do you think? Instead, he wasn't like that. And kind of feel like we've seen that from him. Like, we haven't seen that push of strength from Ben Sennett that the point where in college he was called Baby Gronk. Like, we need this kid to step up, and he hasn't. And it told me all I needed to see when Colson Yankoff was targeted and made a catch for 14 yards on a play that I'm telling you in the past this season it had been designed for Ben Sennett. And I also know the coaching staff was pissed off at the block he made on the corner. Who's the corner on the Broncos? That was Javonte Williams or something like that. It was like one of those guys. He was making plays all game long. There was a screen to Deebo in which Sennett, your tight end, is blocking a corner. You have to hit that block 10 out of 10 in the National Football League. A tight end cannot miss a corner, and he did, and it cost us a play. And then I think after that, they kind of decided to cut his playing time and cut his snaps for guys they could trust. And I saw this on social media here as we're doing Commander's comments, and I kind of agree. At best, Ben Sennett turns into John Bates now. But you didn't draft him to be John Bates. You drafted him to be the heir apparent to Zach Ertz, and that hasn't happened. And I also don't think that Zach Ertz 10 catches for whatever yards did not quiet AWOD's talk about letting him go in the offseason. Let him go back to Philly and retire. You know, here's my thing about Zach Ertz. I really respect him a lot. I think he probably would be a Hall of Famer, right? And I think his family is awesome. If you're a soccer fan, you remember Julie Ertz, her time representing the U.S. Women's National Team. I think their family is awesome. I think he's a super athlete. I think he's brilliant. Like, you have to be smart to go to Stanford. I just think watching the NFL this season, he is not in the top 20 of tight ends. And in almost every game we've played, the other team's tight end has been better. And I didn't think Evan Engram was that good. But you sold the speed difference of Evan Engram versus Zach Ertz, right? And you could go back to almost every game we played this season. The tight ends around the league are just better than Zach Ertz now. It's like, you know, last year was an incredible year for Zach Ertz. This year, they've had a lot more drops and a lot less of the big plays and the big moments. Like, guys like Dalton Schultz and Aronde Gadsden are having much better seasons than Zach Ertz. I think that there's going to be a tight end out there that becomes a free agent that Washington will go after that will end up being an upgrade over Zach Ertz, or at least a guy with more potential. Or maybe you just put both of them out there because you're getting nothing from Ben Sennett. I like what you're getting from Bates, but I think this is the ceiling of John Bates. We need more pass-catching tight end. Not even pass-catching. We need more guys that can get yak after the catch at tight end. You see how Brock Bowers is a huge difference maker. You see how Tucker Kraft is a huge difference maker. Dalton Kincaid with the Bills. Like, these tight ends out there. Colson Loveland now with Chicago. Dallas Goedert even, who replaced Zach Ertz. They're so much better in the yards after catch category. And that's huge in the NFL. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 AM, 105.1 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.